We're going to start. Oh, I should be recording this. Hold on. There we go. We're going to start with source one. This is the shortest sentence in all of the writings of Rav Kook. Ha'ava tzricha liyot mle'a balev lakol. Love has to fill the heart for everything. Notice, he doesn't just say for every person. He doesn't just say we have to love each and every Jew, which is the mitzvah de'oraita, but he says that the ideal is really to love everything. It's famous that Rav Kook has a book called Chazon HaTzimchonut, where he talks about our love for animals and the ideal that we should be vegetarians. He loved everything. And the question is, how do you get there? Because in general, we all have a tendency to love that which is good for me. Right? Our friends are those who we enjoy being with, who make us laugh, who make us feel good, who cook good, or whatever. And there's a famous scene in George Bernard Shaw, famous playwright. And this guy's sitting at a restaurant, and a waiter comes in and says to him, what would you like? He says, fish. Brings him his fish, and the guy jumps into the fish and starts devouring the fish, and the waiter can't help but look at him. He never saw somebody so excited with fish before. So he says to the guy, you don't understand. I love fish. To which the waiter answered, well, if you love fish, why are you eating them? If you love fish, you should put them in a nice aquarium and change their water twice a day. You don't love the fish, you love yourself. And unfortunately, if we're just going to simplify it a little, there are really two types of people. There are those that love those who are good for me, which really, that's just loving myself. Or there are those who love creation, who love everything and everyone. And the principle is that if the Torah commands us to do something, that means really two points. There's a klal regarding all mitzvot. Every mitzvah, if Hashem were not to command it, we probably would not do it. In other words, the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim is not to invite your friend over. Hachnasat orchim is to invite girls from the midrasha who are in Israel and don't have place to be for Shabbat. To invite them, that is the mitzvah of hachnasat orchim. Because if I'm just inviting friends, again, I'm doing it for myself. So the ikarun is, on the one hand, love is something that has to be commanded, because otherwise we would not love each and every Jew. On the other hand, it's also important to remember that every single mitzvah can be observed by every 12-year-old girl and every 13-year-old boy, which means that it is doable. And if so, that's our question, how to do that. Now, if love is an emotion, most people would think that love is an emotion, we would ask, how could Hashem command us to feel a certain emotion? And if so, explains Rav Kook, that love is not just an emotion. Let's jump to source number 5 Aleph, where Rav Kook writes, Avat Yisrael, ve'ha'avoda shel ha'sanegoria al ha'klal ve'al ha'pratim, einena rak avoda hergeshit levada. Love of Israel and the work, it takes work, effort, to milamed sanegoria. Sanegoria is to give the benefit of the doubt, to be a defense lawyer for the Klal Yisrael and for each and every Jew. Einena rak avoda hergeshit levada. It's not just an emotion, because again, if it were an emotion, Hashem wouldn't command it. Ki im miktsoa gadol batorah vechokhma amuka urchava. There's a certain understanding that we have to get, a mindset that we have to get into to enable us to love each and every Jew, even those who are not like me. What is the way? So let's look together in Source 2, famous Talmud Yerushalmi, which is an important key. Talmud Yerushalmi, Masechet Nedarim, Perek Tet, Halacha Dalid, K'tiv lo tikom velo titoret b'nei amecha. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to take revenge, and you're not even allowed to hold a grudge against a member of your nation. Hecha vida. How is it possible not to hold a grudge? So the Yerushalmi tells, give us an example. Have mikta kopid. A guy was cutting a piece of meat. Umachit sakina liyadoi. And by accident, he cut his left hand. Tachzor v'timchi liyadei. Is he going to grab the knife away from his right hand and start stabbing the left hand in revenge? Unless he's schizophrenic, he's not going to do that. And what the Talmud Yerushalmi basically is saying, the mindset that we have to get into is we have to see ourselves as one organism. If I see each and every Jew as myself, then even if he hurts me, I'm not going to hold a grudge, I'm not going to take revenge. But again, how to get into that mindset. Chevra, the key is in Masechet Kiddushin, in source number 3. This is the punchline. Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings a braita, L'chidetanya, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokechem. The Torah tells us that we are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bizman she'atem noagim min hagbanim atem kruim banim. When we act like sons, in other words, when we listen to our father, a good child listens to his father. So when we follow the Torah mitzvah, when we listen to God, atem kruim banim, that is when he calls us his children. Ein atem noagim min hagbanim, ein atem kruim banim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that when is Am Yisrael called the sons of God? When we listen to our father. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Keep that in mind. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir omer, ben kach uven kach atem kruyim banim. No matter how we act, we are called the children of Hashem. Banim atem laHashem elokechem is unconditional, according to Rabbi Meir. Shne'emar banim sichlim hema. He brings a bunch of psukim. Pasuk number 1, I think it's from Yirmiyahu. It says, you are corrupt. It's really more stupid. Stupid sons. Vilmer banim lo emunbam. You are sons who don't believe. Vomer, pasuk number 3, zerem reim banim ashchitim. You are crooked. You are corrupt children. Vilmer pasuk number 4, vaya b'makom asher yomar lehem lo amiatem, yomar lehem b'nei el chai. Even in a place where Hashem has all the reasons to say, you are not my children, Hashem says, you are the children of the living God. And just like God lives forever, so too we are his children forever. And just like Hashem doesn't make mistakes, he chose us and gave us this eternal brit. But the Gemara asks, "My ve'omer? Why does it say ve'omer, ve'omer, ve'omer?" Right after Yirin Midrasha, you all know that if the Gemara brings a proof, it brings one proof, it brings two proofs. Girls, it is very out of the ordinary for the Gemara to bring 4 different proofs. And I'll already foreshadow a drop. Usually, in a machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the rule. Here, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. And one of the reasons is because he is so convincing. This is a yotze min haklal. Why is he so convincing? Why does he bring 4 different psukim? V'chi tema, because you might say, Sichli hu demikri bani. The first pasuk says they are stupid children, stupid sons. They're stupid, but they're still called sons, right? In other words, the term sons is not conditional. That's the whole idea. Even if you're stupid, Hashem says you're still my sons. But, ki let bewimnutayu lo mikru bani. I might have thought, have amina, that when we don't believe in God, we're not his sons anymore. Mele, when we're stupid. You know what? Say a son doesn't recognize his father. Right? That's chutzpah. That hurts the father. Nevertheless, Hashem says, Tashma vomer banim lo emun bam. They are my children, even though they don't believe in me. But they're still my children. Continues the Gemara. V'chite makilet buim nutahu demikrubanim. Ki palchun lavudat kochavim lo mikrubanim. Mela, if they don't believe in God, they're still God's children. But I would have thought that if they serve avodah zarah, they call somebody else their father, I would say that would be too much. You know, today we have so many unfortunate broken families. Just yesterday, I was at the first time in a Beit Din for a gerushin, for a get, a divorce. And it is so upsetting, and it's so difficult for the children. But just imagine the scenario. Say a couple gets divorced, and the woman remarries. And the son is going with his stepfather, walking in the shopping mall. And then his real father also passes by, and he hears the son calling his stepfather, Abba. Can you imagine what that does to the father? Right? Not only does he not call me Abba, he calls him Abba. I would have thought that that would be too much. Tashma comes a pasuk and says, Ve'omer zerem re'im banim mashchitim. Even when Am Yisrael is so corrupt, they oved avodah zarah, Hashem says, they are still my sons. They're banim mashchitim, but they're banim. Right? V'chitema, here's the last pasuk. And maybe you would say, banim mashchitim hu demikri. Okay, they are called corrupt, ovdei avodah zarah, idolatrous sons. Banim ma'alya lo mikri. But they are definitely not called good sons. Right? Nobody would call them good sons. Toshma, comes the fourth pasuk. Ve'omer. Vaya b'makom asher yomar lahem lo amiatem, yomar lahem bnei el chai. Even in a case where Hashem says, I have all the reasons to say you are no longer my sons, you are still and always will be the son of the living God. Now, Chever, this is pretty convincing, right? Would you admit? Right, if I were to ask you, why is this halacha, it's the only place that I could think of that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. Number one is very convincing, but I think it's also the pshat. Girls, if you think about it, we all know in the Tanakh, we have a complex relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, in Shir HaShirim, we are lovers. What is the difference between our relationship with Hashem as He is our lover in Shir HaShirim, or as opposed to Banim Atem LaHashem Elokechem, He is Avinu, He is our Father? Right, the whole chidush is that a son you cannot divorce. Your wife you can divorce. A son, he's yours. And even you can kick him out of the house, you can disown him, you can take him out of your will, but when he is called up to the Torah, he is called with your name, right? Yosef ben Avram. There's no way out of it. Because a child is a child is a child. And the whole chidush of the Gemara here is it's telling us we're not only the beloved wives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lovers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are also his children, and that is unconditional. And, you know, it's, I don't know, anybody have their mother call them, my mother used to say, your room is like a pigsty. You ever hear that one? Or don't eat like a chazer, right? Don't eat. Now, I could eat like a pig. I can live like a pig, but I cannot be a pig because I'm a person. Right? That is essential. So too, a Jew can act like a non-Jew. He can live like a non-Jew, but he is just as Jewish as you and I are. And this is a very important point, Chevri, because in other religions, it's not at all this way. We grew up in our Jewish bubble, and we know that a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, right? Like a person is a person is a person, right? You can baptize yourself a million times. We all know you're still Jewish, right? But you know that in Christianity, it's not that way. In Christianity, if a person doesn't believe in Yeshua, he's a Gentile, but he's no longer a Christian. A Christian is a religion, so if you're not religious, you're out. And the same thing in Islam. In Islam, if you don't believe in Muhammad, you're not a Muslim, you're out. Because they are religions, as opposed to Judaism, which is our nationality. And that's very important to know. Because growing up in America, I always thought my religion was Judaism, and my nationality is American. Judaism does not look at it that way. Judaism says your nationality is Jewish, your religion is Jewish, you are Jewish. You might not ever do a mitzvah in your life, but you are just as Jewish as all of us. And that is unconditional. And that is the first point of Avat Yisrael. How does a person get into the mindset of unconditional love? Let's look for a second in Source 11. The Yalkut Shimoni. The Midrash Eicha says as follows. On the Pasuk, Beit Yisrael Yoshvim al Admatam, Vayitamu Ota. Bnei Yisrael was sitting in the land of Israel, the Holy Land, and they defiled her. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halivai yavun banai imi be'eretz Yisrael, af al pi shemitamin ota. Halivai, my children should be with me in Eretz Yisrael, even if they defile her, even if they do avodah zarah, I prefer for them to be in Eretz Yisrael. Just like every father wants his son home. And that's unconditional. And somebody could ask, so why did God send us to exile, right? Four of the five of us right now are in exile. So why did Hashem send us to exile if he wants us home? The answer is in Yirmiyahu, in Yeshayahu, in Yechezkel, where the Nevi'im were sent generation after generation to warn us that if we don't do tshuva, Hashem is going to send us to exile. But that was a threat that was just meant to deter us from sinning. That was a threat that was not meant to be carried out. And that's exactly what Hashem is telling us. I don't want to send you to Galut. And that's why he was very patient. For hundreds of years, God waited and waited and waited. You know what it's like? Anybody ever drive in the family car and you're in the background making a lot of noise? And your father turns around and says, well, you shut up. If you don't shut up, I'm going to let you out here right in the middle of the highway. You know that scenario? He does not want to let you out in the middle of the highway, right? That is a threat that is not meant to be carried out. And that's what Am Yisrael tells Yirmiyahu. Hashem, he's just bluffing. What does God gain by sending us to exile? There's no Beit HaMikdash in Chutz La'aretz. There's no prophecy in Chutz La'aretz. Most of the mitzvot you cannot do in Chutz La'aretz. It's a chilul Hashem, right? The goyim say, hey, where's the Jewish God? Why doesn't he save his people? It's a bad reflection on God for us to be in exile. So there's nothing that anybody gains from being in exile, but it was a punishment that was not meant to be carried out. Getting back, that is unconditional love. Now, how do you get to that unconditional love? There's another aspect Let's see together in source 14. Got to shift into higher gear. The Mishnah Masechet Nedarim. Source 14. Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph. Anybody knows that the best way to check out the halachic definition of something is in Masechet Nedarim. Right? If you ever want to know, what is the definition of tall? What is the definition of short? What is the definition of smart? What is there? It's all in Hilchot Nedarim. It's a good klal to remember. Because what's the nafkamina? If a person makes a neder and says, I refuse to get any benefit from anybody who is tall. So the Gemara has to define, what does it mean tall? If a person says, I hareyat mekudeshetli, right, you will be my wife on condition that I'm smart. The Gemara has to define, what does it mean smart? Do you all see that? That's bichlal. Anytime you want to define anything in life, look in Masechet Nedarim. So one of the examples is konim she'eni ne'ne la'arelim. Somebody who says, I make a neder that I will not get any benefit from the uncircumcised. Mutar bo'orle Yisrael va'asur b'mule umot. He is allowed to derive benefit from a Jew who happens not to be circumcised. And also, he is prohibited from deriving benefit from a non-Jew who is circumcised. In other words, a Jew, even if physically he's not circumcised, he is circumcised. His neshama is circumcised. And a non-Jew, even though he might do the physical action of Brit Milah, he is in Aril unless he converts. In other words, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, and he's even called a Nimol, circumcised, even if he's not circumcised, because his neshama is circumcised. Do you see that? It's a very interesting halacha. I'll give you another example. Let's look together in source 15. Oh, this is a classic. You all know, anybody know Lubavitchers? You've seen Lubavitchers, right? They stand and they ask, did you put on tefillin today? And they give out Nerot Shabbat. And if there is one mitzvah that Lubavitchers, that Chabad excels in, it is Avat Yisrael. They love Jews. When my son was out in Colombia in South America, the only one who was friendly to him was a local Lubavitcher. You know, they have Beit Chabad. You know what Beit Chabad is? The Lubavitcher house, wherever you go in the world. Probably even more than McDonald's, right? And they just love the Jewish people. And you should know where it comes from. We are about to learn in Source 15 from the very first Lubavitcher Rebbe. You'll know that the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, their last name is Schneerson. Schneerson, Schneerson, Schneerson. So you want to guess what the first Lubavitcher Rebbe's name was? Schneor, right? He is the original Schneer. So Rav Schneer Zalman of Ladi writes in Perek Lamed Bet, Liv. It's easy to remember. You'll remember it for the rest of your life. Perek Lamed Bet in the Tanya. Tanya is the classic book of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he talks about the mitzvah to hate people. The Gemara says you're supposed to hate a rasha. If somebody is not observant, the Gemara says you're supposed to hate them. And by the way, everybody today knows that Rav Kook's approach has won out. Today everybody knows if chas v'shalom, a child leaves the derech, even in the Haredi community, they don't excommunicate him anymore. They don't sit shiv on him like they used to. Today, everybody knows that the only approach is Rav Kook's approach of unconditional love. But the question is, so what do we do with those sources that the Haredim bring when they throw stones at somebody who drives on Shabbat? Right? They have a source that says that you should hate people. Misanecha Hashem Esna. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Those who hate God, I hate. What do we do with those pasukim? Lubavitcher Rebbe 300 years ago, deals with the issue. Let's jump down to the end because we're running out of time. Vigama mekuravim elav vehochicham. You're only allowed to hate a rasha if you fulfilled the mitzvah of hocheach tocheach edamitecha. And by the way, what does it mean to rebuke someone? It's not by throwing a rocket, hitting them in the head, that will bring them to observe Shabbat, right? You have to speak to them in a language that will influence them. Rav Kook writes in one of his Igrot that if you yell at somebody who's Michalel Shabbat, it's like speaking to him in French and he doesn't understand French. Right? You don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of getting him to do tshuva. Right? That's the whole mitzvah, vocheach tochiach, is to rebuke them in a way that will get them to observe Shabbat. And that really is not something very easy. But say you did, and he doesn't accept your rebuke. V'lo shavu ma'avonotam shemitzvah lisnotam. In a case like that, that's where the Gemara means that you have a mitzvah to hate that person if he's a real, genuine rasha. But mitzvah le'avam gamken. There is no exemption from loving him. Ushtein en emet. And you got to do both. Sina mitzad ha-rasha bahem. Hate the evil in him, the evil actions. Ve'ava mitzad bechinat ha-tov ha-ganuz shebahem. You have to love the Jewish neshama. He has the same neshama that you do, that I do, that Rav Kook had. It's the exact same neshama. And even if a person is totally bad, our love is unconditional. How do you get there? Again, what we've seen until now is, number one, Avat Yisrael is unconditional. Even if he is not your friend, even if he is the antithesis of everything you believe in. And also we saw that there is a mitzvah to love even the Rishaim. But how do we get there? Unconditional love is based, we saw, on unconditional Jewishness, unconditional goodness. Every Jew inside has a godly potential. But how do we get there? Let us look together in Source 4. Rav Moshe Cordovero. And this is a game changer. Rav Moshe Cordovero in Sefer Tomer Dvorah gives us an important pointer. Yargil atzmo lachnis avat bnei adam belibo vafilu arishaim. Even for evil people, you have to accustom yourself to loving them. Ki ilu hayu echav v'yoter mizeh. As if they were mamash your brother, or even more. Ad sheyikva belibo avat bnei adam kulam. Vafilu arishaim yahovo tam belibo v'yomar. Mi yiten v'yu elu tzadikim shavim b'tshuva. V'yu kulam gedolim rutsuyim lamakom. Halavai that they should do tshuva. You know, I don't know if anybody, any of you ever do this. It's something that I do whenever, if I ride on a bus, and I see a Haredi Jew, I imagine, what would he look like if he were Chiloni? And vice versa. Whenever I see a Chiloni Jew, I think, hey, what would he look like if he got a Jewish education and he would be religious? Do y'all see that? It's the same DNA, the same neshama as we have. But continues, so what is the Tomer Dvorah saying? The way to get to it, Uvame Yehav Beyoto Mazkir B'machshevato Tovot Asher Bahem V'yechasem Umam V'lo Yistakel B'nigehem Ela b'midot ha-tovot asher bahem. Ladun lekaf zchut. To give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That is the trick. And it's not always easy, but we can do it. You know what? I'll tell you a personal story that it's one of the most embarrassing things that I ever did. When I was 10, my first spiritual experience was at a Rav Shlomo Carlbach concert. And he just got everybody up and dancing, and it was really a... And afterwards, whenever Rav Shlomo Carlbach was in town, I would try and go and hear him. And when he was already older, he was like 70, he was in Yerushalayim, and I told my wife, it was a Saturday night, I said, let's go hear Rav Carlbach, haven't heard him for a long time. So you go to hear him, and he gives a nice concert. He was very clearly past his prime, he was already 70, but it still was very interesting, very enjoyable. And at the end of the concert, all Israelis run to the door, and then they wait online. And what my wife and I do is we just wait in our seats, get our stuff together, let other people wait online, and then as soon as everyone left, so then we'll go. We're sitting like in the second row on the left side, and Rav Shlomo Carlbach is standing right in front of us, and the arranger, the guy who arranged the concert, comes up to him, takes out an envelope of a lot of cash, and he starts counting out the cash and paying him in cash in front of everybody. And I didn't say anything to my wife, but I said to myself, that is so unprofessional, right? He deserves to be paid, right? He spent a whole night, gave a nice concert. He has to make a living, right? But to be paid in cash, counting it out in front of everybody, it pashut left a bad taste in my mouth. About a year later, Rav Shlomo passed away, and that's when they started putting out biographies. And I bought a biography, and I was going through different stories, and then I saw an interesting story, that whenever Rav Shlomo Carlbach would give a concert, he would ask to be paid in cash, in small bills, and it hit me, hey, yeah, he was counting out a lot of bills. Must have been 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. Why don't you just give 200, you know? Why? Because all of the kabtzanim, you all know that Yerushalayim has a lot of beggars, right? The Tachna Merkazit, by the Kotel, you know what I'm talking about? All the beggars knew that Rav Shlomo Carlbach would give away all of the money that he made at every concert to the beggars. But he asked that he be paid in cash, in small bills, so that he doesn't just give, you know, 200 shekel to five guys, but he can give 20 shekel to every beggar. And I felt so terrible. Can you imagine? And afterwards, by the way, I saw in another biography the same story. And apparently it was something, it was common knowledge. And I should have given him the benefit of the doubt. Now I hope you can give me the benefit of the doubt, because I was just, you know, I saw a guy being paid in cash, and it just, you know, didn't look good. But what Rav Moshe Cordovero was telling us, how do you get to that point of giving the other person the benefit of the doubt? Every person is lovable. That's why he says, like your brother. Or the Gemara in Kiddushin says, here, Tali, is that your brother? Oh, just like your brother. Now, I'm sure some of you have brothers who are jerks, who are not nice, especially older brothers who pick on their younger siblings, right? Especially during adolescence. And nevertheless, you know what's even a better example? Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, children. Anybody ever hear, there's a, they say in English, if you see a really ugly looking baby, they say he has a face that only his mother could adore. You ever hear that one? A mother will love every child, no matter what. It's unconditional. And even if the child is a drug addict, the mother will give him the benefit of the doubt. It's not his fault. You know, he didn't get a good education, or he got spanked too much as a child, or he needs attention, or say he's a bank robber. Well, the mother, she's not going to say, oh, I love my son, the bank robber. She doesn't like the fact that he's a bank robber, but what will his mother say? He supports his family. He's very dedicated. He has a good sense of humor. You see that, Chana? A parent will always look for something good to say about the child, because every person is lovable. And if every person is lovable to their father, to their mother, that means that every person is lovable to you and to me. All we have to do is to look for what is good in him. Do you all see that? That's a very important point. Every person is lovable. Every person in the world has at least two people that love him, his father and his mother. What do they love in him? That's what I should look and find for. Now, let's see an example, a quick example or two. Let's look in the Rambam. In, where is the Rambam? Source 7. The Rambam in Source 7 talks about how we don't know how to judge people. That you have a shikul ze einanu lefi minyan hazchuyot vavonot, ela lefi godlam. When we talk about judging a person on Rosh Hashanah, or on Judgment Day, we don't count how many mitzvot or how many averot, because some mitzvot are really heavy, and some not. There's a different weight for every mitzvot. Jump down to the end. Ve'en shoklin ele b'da'ato shel el deyot, ve'hu ayodea hechorchin azchuyot keneged avonot. The only one who knows how to judge a person is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know how to judge a person. For example, look at the Rambam in Hilchot Shkagot, Source 13. There's the famous Chazon Ish, where, by the way, Halavai, all the Charedim who hold by the Chazon Ish should know the Chazon Ish. He brings this Rambam in the context of the modern Chilonim. He talks about a Jew, Shenishba vehu katan lebena akum. If a child is kidnapped as a child, and then abducted and is raised as a goy, he is not responsible for his actions. Do you all see that? He was mechalel Shabbat thousands of times every Shabbat of his life, but the Rambam paskins lalacha, he is not responsible for his actions. Says the Chazon Ish, today somebody who didn't get a good Jewish education, what does it mean, good Jewish education? Learning philosophy, learning Musar, having his questions answered, he's not responsible for his actions. It's as if he was brought up among the goyim. Or another example. Let's look together in Source 9. Chazal say in the Midrash, on the Pasuk, Vayar Vayetzelo. Yaakov was very troubled when he was about to meet up with Esav. Why? Amar kola shani malalu hu yoshev be'eretz Yisrael. Esav, for 20 years, Esav was in Eretz Yisrael. He was fulfilling every second mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah. While I, Yaakov, I was out in the house of Lavan. Shema hu ba alai mikoach yeshivat Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Esav has more righteousness than I do, simply because he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, kol hashanim halalu hu mechabed et aviv. Remember, the Midrash brings down that Esav was very good at honoring his parents. Veshema yavo elai bekivud avim. Yaakov says, for 20 years, I haven't been able to honor my parents. I was away in the house of Lavan. Girls, you notice something interesting? The common denominator between these two examples, these are examples that even non-religious people do, right? You don't have to be religious to honor your parents. You don't have to be religious to live in the land of Israel. There are a lot of non-religious people in the land of Israel. Nevertheless, Chazal tell us, we don't know how to judge people. Esav, because he is accumulating every single time he brings his father a cup of coffee, and every second he is in Eretz Yisrael, he might be more righteous than I am, says Yaakov. We don't know how to judge people. Bekitzur, what Rav Kook is saying is that, to summarize, Avat Yisrael, you got to remember 3 points. Number one, it's based on unconditional love. Because to love Jews who are like me, who are like you, to love your friends, the Torah doesn't need to command you. The mitzvah is to love those who otherwise you wouldn't love. And we asked, how can every 12-year-old girl, how can every 13-year-old boy love each and every Jew? Well, we saw there is such a thing as unconditional love for your children. Every child is lovable. Get into that mindset. Unconditional godliness, that each and every Jew has a spark of God that's just waiting to be ignited. And even if he acts like a goy, he is Jewish. And point number three that's mamash connected with this is to focus on the virtue. Focus on what a person is good at. And by the way, this is something very, very important, bichlal, and everything in life. I've had students, I've been working with girls your age for 30 years now. I was the head of a midrashah for 20 years. And over the years, I see a lot of students who just don't get married. It could be 30, 35, maybe even 40. And when you talk with them, it always boils down to that one problem. They don't focus on the virtue. They focus on he's not sensitive enough, or he's not manly enough, or we want him also to be sensitive enough and also manly enough, and you want him to be tall. And also, you can't have everything. Nobody has everything. You don't have everything. I don't have everything. And this is such an important midah, to focus on the virtue. And again, we saw a very good klal here. How do you focus on the virtue? If he were your child, what would you say good about him? Did you all see that? Every person is lovable. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Any questions?